Thank you. Please have your seat. Have your seat. Like, I don't have air to flip. Chisholm, thank you so much for being a blessing to us. And we felt like she has practically spoke about a chunk of the things I was going to talk about today. Because I've been asking God what exactly would have me share. And there was something that I believe I got, and then I got something else again. So I was wondering, okay, God, which of these would you have me share? And then I think when I stepped in briefly during workers' meeting, I didn't hear exactly what Pastor Kenny was talking about, but a part of what he was saying just filtered into my ear before I stepped out again. And you know, that just slashed on my heart, and I felt like, okay, I think I'm sure of the direction of what God will have me speak. And then Chisholm came, and she was peeping into some of the thoughts that I had planned to share. I think that's very beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, it's very beautiful. These are the things that you get excited about God. You know, because things like this cannot happen by human calibration. Sometimes people say the Bible is not real. And then you wonder, how can the Bible not real when every chapter was written over span of, I think, about 600 years or so. I can't remember correctly now. It's about 60 thereabout. Like, it's not like somebody wrote Genesis 1991. Then they wrote Exodus 1992. No. Many of them lived different times. Yet, there's synergy. So how can you say it's false? How can an Isaiah know that there would be a Jesus that came how many years after? Many years after. And Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies that Isaiah said. Now, somebody was saying that scientifically, it's almost impossible for you to fulfill that amount of prophecy specifically, scientifically. Okay, so when you have your doubts, when you are thinking, and that's one of the key things, and it was connected to what Pastor Kenneth shared, the last scripture he shared. It's connected to one of the key things that Chisholm was talking about. Serving God is the logical thing to do. As it is the sensible thing to do. So if you are not serving God, you're not using it. Let me say it like that. So serving God is like when you consider things even practically, scientifically, it doesn't make sense that you can't serve God. Because when you look at all the different atheist theories of how the world came to be, say there was a Big Bang theory. Okay, let's assume there was a Big Bang theory. And then everything came into the way it is, precisely like that, from a Big Bang theory. But we know that by physics, that for something to take a particular shape or specific dimension, it means that there is a measure of force. There's a measure of force that is impressed on that thing. Praise God. So it therefore means that even if we're going to go by a Big Bang theory, it means that there was somebody that was controlling that Big Bang. So why are you avoiding the conversation of who made the Big Bang happen? Or the thing that banged? Where did it come from? Or did it come out of it? And that banging? That banging that caused the banging? How did he bang? Praise God. So you really, when you consider yourself, human being, you look at yourself in the mirror, like he was saying 2 weeks ago. The way you are like that, fine. Could you have come by error, like mistake. Just jagajaga chiki 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 print. And he came out. It can't happen. I was watching something. And the thing is, guys, allow me reinforce something Chisholm said. You have to read your Bible. You have to read your Bible. A young woman, she sounded like, she was acting like she's very intelligent, very eloquent, speaking her mind, very confident. And she was supporting abortion. And she said that it's just fetus, it's just flesh, it's just tissue. That is not a child. That all these things we say, we are just stressing. That let people that want to abort, they are not killing anybody. And she explained that, really, that until that child, until that thing is born, is not a child. That until the thing comes out, is not a child. And she was emphasizing it. And I paused. And I said about it. So that means that even if that logic is correct, that means that there's a miracle that happened. That when paper or tissue is coming out, then by the time the head which touches the air just breathes upon it and it becomes head of a child. And as it's coming, the hand forms. That itself is a miracle. Praise God. But we know biologically, that's why they do scan. But when we do scan, we see that head and leg. Sometimes you even see the hand moving. You see the head bobbing. So, it now made me realize that when the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So they will say foolish things with such confidence. So you find out that if you begin to think that foolishness is wisdom, that means that you are joining their WhatsApp group. If you begin to consider, maybe this foolish thing is correct, they are adding you to their WhatsApp group. And the way to avoid that, scriptures. Finally, before I move on. Now, a man of God was sharing something recently. I think I saw it this week or last week. He said that there was a really powerful, child of God that they know that one day, she said she got a vision from God to fast 40 days and that she's supposed to lock herself in. 40 days and lock you, as in you lock yourself. You're not talking to anybody. Pastor said, when he heard it, he was not very, he didn't sit well with him. But she didn't hear. She went to the house, locked her door, locked window, was inside, fasting, not eating. So he went to the house at some point and said, this way you are fasting is your fast. Is get as it be. Come out. Say, yeah, you have to break by the door, the window, to get her out. I told Pastor, you are disturbing the work that God wants me to do. In fact, the revelation I have now is that I'm supposed to walk from Lagos to Ibadan. I'm supposed to walk but because God wants to show a dimension of Jehovah Rapha through me. So I'm supposed to walk from here to Ibadan. I said, no, this one is something else. It can't be by scriptures. It's not God. Say, Pastor, you are stopping God's will. You don't want me to do God's work. She escaped. Started walking to Ibadan. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Fasting. Started walking to Ibadan. Just as she was about to eat Ibadan, she ran mad. Why? The word. Because if you have read the word, two things. You know that first, there is no new thing that God wants to do with you. That is just you. Especially made it, this kind of fast is only for only you. You know that by scriptures. Two, you know by scriptures that even when God says, go and preach, for example, I'm using good things, and Pastor Kenneth says, no, don't go and preach that preach today. Don't go today, just sit down in church. Your sitting down in church is where the blessing is. You have submitted yourself to authority. That's basic word. So that the pastor came and said, this your fast, don't do. But you still went ahead to do. Already shows that you don't even have basic knowledge of what the Bible says. And that's a serious problem. So that sometimes, when we are very young, and one of the things about youthfulness is we have passion. But unfortunately, that passion doesn't come with wisdom. And the way for us to get wisdom is by getting in the Word. That is how, when you are in the Word, that is how you will know more than your teachers. Because you are speaking from an eternal plane. So you know more than what they are saying. They are talking earthly things. You are talking from ancient things, things that God is speaking about, the Word of God. So don't joke with your, like Pastor Kenneth said, you can't be praying and you're not reading the Bible. You will hear a voice. You will hear. Oh man, you will hear. See, there are three voices you can hear. Hey, this thing, is it correct? It gave me 2 hours. Wow. There are three voices you can hear. You can hear your voice, the voice of yourself. You can hear the voice of the devil, and you can hear the voice of God. What helps you decide which one is which? Hebrews chapter 4 says that for the word of God is quick and powerful, dividing what? Soul and spirit. So it divides, it clearly helps you differentiate what is coming from your soul, from you, and what is coming from God, the word of God. So the devil can say, okay, right now, all the money in your account, go and give it out. Devil can tell you that. And then you go and your school fees, that mommy, they will pay school fees. You can sow it as a seed. And then you are trusting God to submit, to send you money. But they pursue you from school. And I say, is the persecution of the saints? No. It's the foolishness of the mind. It's lack of having the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is why that message Pastor Kenneth taught us on that series about unity is very important. Because when we are bounded together, when we are under authority, when you hear something that looks up, can God tell you to go and sow something outside? Yes. But things like that, when you come and you submit it and you say, ah, sir, I feel God leading me to go and sow my school fees. And the Pastor Kenneth says, I ask you a couple of questions. I say, yes, go and sow it. You know that, okay, this is God. I say, ah, don't sow your school fees. I say, Pastor Kenneth does not understand what God is doing with me in this moment. We have left the old, we are with the new.
Wow.
Guess what? Oh, Gary, you don't go drink. They will pursue you from school, and that might be the end of your education. Yes, you now say you want to go and start ministry, go to bush, go up on mountain. Your testimony will be, I came here when I was persecuted in the city. No. God did not send you. And where did this start from? Lack of not knowing this thing, even though you had zeal. Praise God. Amen. So we can't play with the word. Praise God. God is good. God is good. Let's start with Romans chapter 12. Let's start there. I can't accurately say this is the topic. Okay, but we can target expansion. Expansion. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Please give me another version. This is what we're saying, that is your reasonable service. No, when something is reasonable, say for example, if rain is falling and you are outside and you run under a shade, will I come and say, good job, well done? Will you expect me to congratulate you? That is the reasonable thing to do. So because it's the reasonable thing to do, I'm not going to give you an award for running from the rain. Because it's the rational, logical, intelligent act of thing for you to do. If rain is falling and you're walking and you're shivering, I know you need salvation. Because it's like they've paused your rational, logical intelligence. So I need to intervene. So I'll quickly run with umbrella and blanket and come and save you from yourself. Praise God. So I'm trying to explain what it means to be reasonable. If you are going home, for example, and your home is on this street, will you take bike, beggar? Then when you get beggar, you not take bike to a phone line. We need to intervene in that person's life fast because something is wrong. The reasonable thing is that you will walk, step out, take a stroll, go home. And when you get home, your mom will not say, ah, well done, you made it. Congratulations for coming home. They give you a award, they give you a medal, they take a picture. It won't happen. Why? What you are doing is the reasonable thing to do. So this scripture is saying that, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, is even begging you to do the reasonable thing. Because he knows that, Paul knows that, no, we don't do reasonable things. Like all of you are now looking very fine. Your default setting is to do unreasonable things. Yes. Like spending like the whole day on TikTok. It's like the normal. Like, you know, even if you're on TikTok, like you're scrolling, 12 o'clock, go, 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock already. Praise God. So normal is that your body wants to enjoy things. For example, this fasting, what you are doing is you are not going normal. Normal is that your body wants to eat. So you're not telling it, body, I own you. You no go chop. So you are doing what is not normal. So Paul here understands that our body naturally do unreasonable sins. Our body wants to do unreasonable sins. All those sin, unreasonable sins. So he says, I beg you people, by the mercy of God, present your body, dedicating all of yourself set apart as a living sacrifice. Now, the interesting about a living sacrifice is that you can walk away from the altar. Praise God. That's a living sacrifice. You know, a dead sacrifice, when you know, think of Asun, when you are doing goat Asun, when you've killed the goat, you already hang it. You can walk away and come back and still meet it there. But you carry live goat, put it on the table. Wait, I'm coming. Let me go and bring a knife. Before you turn back, man, he has gone. He has run away. Living sacrifice. So, he would take, remember Israel, Isaac. That's the practical example of how our living sacrifice should be. What do I mean? He could have run away, but he chose to stay on the altar, living sacrifice. So it never implies then that we are serving God, we are reading the Bible, we are giving ourselves to God, not because they are forcing us to, not because it's the only thing to do, but is that I am choosing to do it even though I can do other things. Living sacrifice. Do you get it? Living sacrifice. So the idea is that So the Holy Ghost will not just come upon you and begin to read the Bible every day. If you are waiting for, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to inspire me to read the Bible, it may never happen. Living sacrifice is that you carry yourself, go and carry your book, Bible, you sit down. You are reading Deuteronomy 26. You carry it and begin to walk. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God, living sacrifice. Because what your body wants, the unreasonable thing your body wants is, what? And you sleep off. So living sacrifice is that you choose to stay on that altar. Hallelujah. Holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. So you see then that when scripture says in Philippians 2 that by this God that worketh in us both to will and to do. Jesus was talking about how you must be open, you must be willing, and then you must chase. Isaiah chapter 1 says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the fruit of the land. So I want to serve God. Then you will now serve God. I really want to read my Bible. Then you will now read your Bible. Praise God. Amen. living sacrifice. So every time you find yourself wanting to choose between two things, should I fast or not? Should I read my Bible or not? Should I pray or not? Think of, am I like that goat that want to run away from the altar? Or will I stay like Isaac and stay on the altar? Even though I don't understand. Man, it's like they changed my message. Because, guys, one of the things that have been in my heart recently is how Paul was talking to Timothy about doctrines and about God when you read the book of 1 Timothy. And every time you read Paul's conversation in any of the episodes, he's talking about God like, he's not talking about it like a concept. You know, when we talk about the solar system, for example, who did geography here? All right, the sun, is it hot? How hot is the sun? Something thousand times, just by something, right? But do you know that an astronaut, if I ask this same question to an astronaut and they answer the same thing, their answers are different. Because the astronauts have been close to the sun. The only thing you know is drawing of yellow thing that they push and shine around, that is shiny. And they put, that is your definition of sun. In fact, the highest you've gone to is when it's shining on you. Yeah, this sun is plenty, you carry an umbrella. But that experience is not a perfect way to decide that the sun is hot. But if an astronaut comes and tells you that, guys, the sun is hot, you believe it. There's a weight in it. So I've been thinking to God, but I really want to have a more real relationship with God. See how Moses was with God. See how Paul, they went, took him outside the city, flogged him, stoned him. Oh, wow, these guys want to kill me. And then he went back into the city again. That can only happen because it's not a concept. It's not organic chemistry. It's that I know this guy. I know God. I know him. I know Jesus. So it was real. Someone was saying recently, I think it was this week, that Paul and Silas, can you give me that scripture in the book of Acts? Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. When Paul and Silas were singing and praising, their intention was not deliverance. Their intention was not, we are going to praise and sing to God so that God will come and deliver us. It was that even though we are in prison, we will still praise God. Similar to the three Hebrew guys that said that even if he does not save us, we still will not bow. What that means is, even, not normally, our prayer is, God, prove to these people that you are real, save me. That's how I would have prayed. But this guy said, see guys, even if he does not show up, I still know he's real. So you see that our relationship with God must not be about transaction, but about an engagement, a relationship. It's not about what he gives me. Because we must come to a place that says, even if he does not give me, he's still God. Even though I prayed about it and it did not happen, he's still my God and he still loves me. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They were just normal. Whether we're in prison or we're outside, as long as we are with God, we are okay. The intention was not salvation. But suddenly, a great earthquake came. Foundation of the place shook. All the doors opened and all the chains were loosed. Next. See why I said that? And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Next. But Paul called with a loud voice, do yourself no harm, for we all are here. So, if their intention was salvation, when the prison doors open, boom, chap, chap, Paul, I don't go. Silas has gone. Paul has followed. But their intention wasn't salvation. So they were not even in a rush when the gate opened. They were not in a rush. Ah, the gate has opened. Oh, ah, that's interesting. God is, ah, Silas, God is doing stuff. Oh. Things are just happening. And then, after this episode, they were able to bring salvation to the keeper's house. But if their intention was always give and take, give and take, give and take, you might not have the scripture. So one of the first things I want to emphasize for us is the earlier we come to a point where I am not serving God because I want him to give me things. I am serving God because I want to have a relationship with him. Our lives will radically change. Our lives radically change. Because then what happens is that we are now seeing ourselves from where God sees us, not from our expectation of ourselves or what our parents expect us to be. Some of you, maybe your parents want you to be a medical doctor, or maybe your parents want you to be, well, now, I don't know why parents now want their children to be tech bro and Texas. Back in the days, it was doctor, lawyer, engineer, every other one. What are you doing with your life? So maybe tech bro has entered the list now. So your parents have an expectation of you. You too, you have your dreams in your mind. But when your life has become like that living sacrifice, you begin to expect, your expectations now are now become, I only expect what God expects of me. I only see my life, and guess what? What God expects of you is always higher than what you expect of yourself. Always. 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 Some of you right now, your dream. Okay, let me ask a question. Please, let's go to Genesis 13. Who wants to answer my question? Don't worry, you don't have a question. But just raise your hand. Volunteer. I have volunteered. Okay, thank you for volunteering. Are you volunteering? No. Oh, yeah, volunteer. You like this? I take that as volunteer. Please let me give him the mic. Let me just, don't worry. Somebody else. I'll take somebody else, but give him the mic. Yeah. Tell me. So I want to give you an all expense paid trip, vacation, all expense paid. Where do you want to go?
Dubai.
Okay. What exactly, where exactly in Dubai do you want to go? What do you want to see in Dubai? What experience do you want to have in Dubai?
Where I want to see. Burj Khalifa. I want to see. And
what's the Burj Khalifa, by the way?
There's this building in Dubai. It's, I think it's already in Dubai. So, I've seen it online. That's where most.
Okay, they have their thing there, yeah. Okay, so you want to go to Burj Khalifa because of that. Okay, nice, thank you. Who else wants to answer the same question? Now you know there's expo. You want to answer, right? Yeah, come on, give her the mic. What's your name? What's your name? Okay, Christabel. Where would you like? Is Christabel or Christabel?
Christabel.
Christabel, okay. Where would you like to go? All expense paid trip.
I've no details about.
Okay.
But I'll say South Korea.
Okay. Oh, why? You like, you want to go meet Lee Min-ho? Yeah. Okay.
I just watch Korean movies. I want to go there. Yeah, I don't know.
But because of the whole Korean movie thing. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Good. Now, their conversation is from he wants to go to Burj Khalifa. Now, how many of you are hearing Burj Khalifa for the first time? Yeah, you're ready for the first time. Awesome. Good. But the reason why he can think of going to Burj Khalifa is because he has seen it online. Praise God. He has seen it online. So, because he has seen it online, it can create an expectation in his heart. Praise God. Because she's a fan of Mihahu and Hahaha and all of them that do the old Korean movie thing. She just probably likes the old thing, the way they act. By the way, let me bust a bubble a little. But because of it, I like Korean movies and all their men and stuff. So apparently, I read that the reason why they do a lot of love movies and stuff in Korea is because most Korean women do not like Korean men. So, in fact, they started staging a protest that they're not marrying again. So one way is that the media started repackaging the men so that people can fall in love with their men again. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? So, and I think it's working. You can check it out online. Okay, but the reason why she has that expectation is because she has seen something and felt, okay, maybe I'd like to do this. Now, some of you, if I ask you, somebody else, where would you like to go on vacation? Some might say, okay, I'd like to go to maybe Cross River, maybe Badon, or something. Yeah, since some of you know yourself, that's the answer you have. Ah, let's see Badon. Now, but I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. No, Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Remember, what's our topic? Expansion. Wow, 21 minutes. 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. No, go to verse 14. I don't have time to read. Yeah. So, and the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord had separated from him. Now, when Abraham told Lot to pick, the Bible said Lot lifted up his eyes as well. Okay, but he lifted up his eyes from his own assessment of things. Now, I was talking to you about how you must assess yourself from how God sees you. But here, it was God that said to Abraham, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, next. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So it's basically saying that, Abraham, as far as you can see, I'm going to give to you. The reason why you cannot think of going to Burj Khalifa is because you have never even heard or seen it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, not here. Abraham had not entered into the promised land. But God was saying that the amount that you can capture is what I will give you. Now, because he has seen Burj Khalifa online, he has read about it, has an understanding of what happens there, it has created an expectation in his heart. So he can, if you are sending me anywhere, please just send me to Dubai. Why? There's an expectation in his heart. But you are not expecting to go to Dubai because you have not seen Dubai. Praise God. And did you have to go to Dubai to see Dubai? Did you have to go to Dubai to see Dubai? No. And the same way with scriptures. I'm going to show you. Let's jump. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 54. So first, I've established that we are living sacrifices, okay? And we must not run from the altar. We must stay there as much as God gives us power. We must stay there. And our conclusion of ourselves, how you see yourself, must not be how you see yourself or how humans see you. It must be how God sees you. Because guess what? God can turn failures into success. In fact, God turns failures into success. No, nobody likes black sheep of the family. God doesn't mind working with black sheep of the family. Hallelujah. God is not concerned about firstborn, lastborn, middleborn. Anyone that release themselves will work. When you check the book of Genesis, he was calling firstborn. When he got to Noah, Bible said, and Noah has three children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Why? The three of them were involved in the work. So was it the only firstborn that he mentioned? So you can say, because I'm second born, that's why. Because I'm last born, that's why Joseph was second to last born. So the bond you were born is not a factor of God using you. The school you went to is not a factor. The house you live in is not a factor. What is the factor? Can you see what God is showing you? That's the factor. That's the factor. Praise God. Some of you, the kind of house you have currently, you live in currently, you're not proud of it. They're not proud of your house. So you don't even allow so many friends come to your house. Maybe only one or two friends know your house. Because you're not proud of the house. Maybe you have to cross gutter before you enter into your house or something. You're not proud of your house. And I think God asked me to tell you that you need to begin to look forward more. Don't paint yourself by the house that you live in. By the environment that you live in. That is not what decides who you are. Praise God. If I take you to the house that I grew up in, praise the Lord. But guess what? I will come out of that house and I will roll with teenagers in church that their parents had houses. And sometimes I will speak. Some of them were attending schools, make sense, private schools. But many of them, big private schools. I was attending a public school. But I will come and I would speak and they would listen. Because I didn't carry myself like I was coming from a slum. I did not. Why? I knew that God, I did not have a clear picture, but I knew that God wanted me bigger than this. In fact, in my thinking, where I live in was not even a factor of the decider of where I was going. But it's important, particularly for the person I'm talking to, that you don't disdain where you are now in your mind. Because if you disdain it now, one of the things that happened to you is that you will lack gratitude when you move forward. When you can see from where you are now to where you are going, by the time you get here and you look at where I am now to where I'm coming from, gratitude grows in your heart. You can be grateful to God. But when you erase memory of where you are coming from, that's when you be speaking English. I made it by myself. I put in the work. I was hustling until I made it. You forgot that God moved you. So yes, I know you don't like your house, but be grateful for it now. Thank you, Lord, that I have a house to live in. It may not be the best house, but Lord, thank you, because this house is not what decides who I am. And then you find out that the day you will go and build out for your parents, there's gratitude in your heart. It says, thank you, Father. So is it me too that I'm building a house? That I came from one room apartment. I'm building a house for people. Today you are dashing people car keys. You'll be grateful for days you walked. I was telling Joshua, I think it was the light army one day, that when we were younger, we had guys that would come from Abulegba on foot to Sabo for Bible study. They didn't have money. They would walk. Do you understand what I'm saying? Abulegba people. You understand what I'm saying? They would walk. Now, it's not Abulegba. First time I went to one of them's house. It's not Abulegba that on the road. Just you will cross. That's what's that road? Eh? There's that Ekoro. You now go down to one place that there's no road. Like that road, that year was very nonsense. He would come from there, they would walk. We'll finish at 6 or 9 past 6. They would walk back again. And we're doing joyfully. As we are going, we know the place, some people branch, Aguda, some people branch, Ogba, some people branch, Agi, some people branch, Abulegba, bye bye you. One of them is one of the greatest creative directors Nigeria has now. Praise God. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is, when God was speaking to Abraham there, God said, look from where you are. And then look northward, southward, eastward, westward, from where you are. Stop belittling where you are. That's one of the reasons why you have been disrespectful to your parents. Stop it. Be grateful to them that they gave you where you are. Be grateful. Be grateful to God for it as well. And then don't let it define you. Because what God asked for you is a lot. Let's go back to Isaiah 34. I believe person that needed that. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. They said the barren to sing. Praise God. Child has not come. And the word says sing. Dance. Cry aloud. Be excited that you have a child. But I don't have a child. Praise God. I don't have a child yet. But God is saying, because it says, says the Lord. God is saying, go and be happy. Go and be excited. Because you have a child. But you are not pregnant yet. I was saying that you must see yourself. You must expect what God can give you. As far as your eyes can see. 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 Let me backtrack a little before I come back here. One of the messages I was preached here, I think it was Pastor Tunji, said that everything we produce in our life will always fall to the level of our minds. Yeah. You know, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. I was just telling God thank you. When I was way younger, I used to walk like this. My mind would be down and I'm walking. And then I like to read a lot. And then I read How to Be a Confident Person. And I know that you need to keep your head up. Your shoulders need to be square. And you move with confidence. So every time I catch myself, I just pause. I did that consistently. Consistently, it became my natural. If I did not read, I wouldn't have seen that. I won't have captured it. And I won't be able to leave it. As far as your eyes can see. You know, sometimes we tell young people to read. You know, many times when you ask questions like, why can't a teenager be in a relationship? For example. The problem is you cannot see anything right now. You need to focus on what your eyes can see. You need to focus on broadening what your eyes can see. So expose yourself to things more than where you are now. That's what I'm trying to say, tell you. Some of you that have never heard of Burj Khalifa before is that personally, when I hear things like that, like somebody's preaching and says something and I've not heard it before, I just write on the corner of my notes, when I get to research. Oh, I'm going to read it up. Because I need to capture it. I may not say anything, but I've taken note of it. So instead of spending so much time wasting your data on TikTok and unnecessary stuff online, how about you begin to expose yourself more to bigger things, things that are bigger than where you are. For example, you can go and price private jets. Go and Google, how can I get a private jet? And then check, oh, so the private jet of 3.3 million to rent in a day. Oh, nice. You are not renting it now. But what you are doing is you are expanding your heart. Think of a rubber. Whenever I stretch it like this, it may not stay like that. You come back, but it has stretched. Physics. But practically, you know that. If I keep pulling it, when we're young, we used to go and pull rubber, we'll put it inside kerosene so I too to expand, and then we'll use the play rubber. So you need to expand your mind. You need to expand your mind. Praise God. Because the things that God wants to give you, if your mind cannot capture it, you will still produce it small. So God's plan is that you'll be giving houses to people, but you build a house and you're fine. And you think you're living life. Praise God. So how do you expand as far as your eyes can see? By exposing yourself to things bigger than where you are now. It's not like I was planning to go to Dubai when you checked about Burj Khalifa. You check. You want to be an accountant. Who is the greatest accountant in the world? How did they get there? You want to run a business. What's the greatest business? I saw something online which day recently, this week, my wife was showing me. I think a house that was about 4 billion naira or something for rent. Yeah, maybe a monthly rent or so. He said the door alone is millions. The door. I just open and close. The door alone. Then the couch. Maybe it was Louis Vuitton couch or Kinikon couch. Very succulent. Ah! Full of God. See, if you have sat on chairs, you know the difference between a chair and cushion. Oh, yeah. You know, there's car, there's ride, then there's cruise. Ah! Full of God. Expose your heart to these things. One day I stepped into a car, entered the car. Ah! Felt different, like the chair was so comfortable. So I was driving. There's a speed now. I should speed. So I stepped on it. I was running. As I was speeding, the chair was like it was hugging me. As the faster I was going, the chair was wrapping around me. That was the safety measure. It was wrapping around me more. When I released my leg again to release me. When I stepped in, I said, ah, this is a cruise. Now, I've entered that. Do you think I'll be comfortable if you say that Christians are supposed to have that kind of cars? My eyes have seen. My leg have pressed. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes. Somebody buys a new car in church. You don't have to do like a bush person. But somebody buys a car in church. Wow, congratulations, sir. Congratulations, sir. This is so beautiful. Can I step in? Enter, sit down. Feel it. Wow. It's nice. Yes. You are expanding your possibility. See, I grew up in a slum that if you look right, it's people that, if you look left, it's here that is selling beans. If you look right, there's people that always sell water. There was no possibility there. Guess where I found possibility? Church. Because that's where everybody came together, plus the rich, plus the everybody. So I used to, look at that. That's how I saw. And then I passed here, Solid Rock. I would see men, suit, pa. They look like they are CEOs and they'll be passing cars. They'll be saying, which people can do this one too? Okay, I'll do it. Possibilities. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Expansion. So you need to expand your heart. And this applies whether it's spiritual things or physical things. You want to win souls. Think that I will win the whole of what you do for the Lord. But as you are preaching to one person, you know that this one person is just a seed of the many. You preach to two, that's a seed of the many. Three, seed of the many. Why? So like you preach to 1, 3, you rejoice, but you know that is not all. As far as your eyes can see. So can your eyes see it? If your eyes can't see it, you may not be able to get it. You just be wishing. Just be wishing. Ah, if I'm going now, money, I just see money on the floor. That'll be kind of wish you'll be wishing. If I can just see a job now, and they pay me like $10,000 every month. Ah, man, I'll jump on it though. If your eyes has not seen it, guess what? Even when this thing come out, vacancy for the role, and you see the money, say, ah, hey, I cannot apply for this one. No. If I not apply, now do rubbish, you not sack me. You'll be scared of it, even though you have been saying it and wishing it. Because your eyes, do not, you don't even believe that you deserve it. But if God is saying, as far as your eyes can see, that means there's no impossibility to you. I've abandoned something I want to share with you. And I saw something online today, this week as well. There was this boy, he was a sensation attendant. And then somebody came in and saw him. And then took him to modeling. Next time we're seeing him, he was on walkway in Paris. Praise God. What I'm trying to help you guys do is that understand that there is no limitation for you. Why? Where we started from? Because you're a living sacrifice, and it is God that is handling your life. So there's no limitation with God. The only limitation you have is what God says you should do and what he says you should not do. Like, the only reason why, for example, I will not go to Dubai is because God said don't go to Dubai. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that is the only limitation over your life. The only reason why I will not be able to make billions of naira is because God says, guy, don't make billions of naira for me. I don't need to do it. I'll get somebody else to do it for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. When God was speaking to Moses, when he was telling him that he was not going to enter the promised land, he told him to, Moses, lift up your eyes. Look, 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 look. You've seen. You're not going to enter. He told Abraham, look, 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 I'll give it to you. So our life, the only boundary we have is God. Our boundary is God. Should I run the old mile? God says, run. You get it. It's my own. I keep pursuing it. God said, no, of 100, I want to give you 5. Okay, 5. Okay, Lord, I take 5. But we are limitless because our Father, the one that is running our life, is limitless. As far as your eyes can see. As far as your eyes can see. So how far can your eyes see? Right now. How far can your eyes see? What do you think you deserve? I'm saying this as a child of God. Not as your father's child. Your mother's favorite daughter. Your right now. What do you think you deserve? Now think about it. What do God believes I deserve? Bible says that he that did not spare his son, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? If he can give you the Holy Ghost to believe on your inside, why won't he give you all other things? That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added, because it's extra for him. Your own assignment, just seek it first. Be a living sacrifice. Stay with him. This fast, stay on it. We have about maybe 14 days or so, or less than. Stay on it. If you haven't been doing, say these next 2 weeks, I'm going to go it on full drive. Pray, study, stay there, and then you find that the Lord is going to expand your heart, and then you can receive much more. My time has. Just bow your heads. Just bow your heads. I don't just talk to God. I say, Lord, help me. Help me see. Help me see as far as expand how my eyes can see. Because, Lord, sincerely, I cannot see so much. I'm not seeing beyond Ujodu. I'm not seeing beyond Abulegba. Lord, help me. I want to be truthful. Truthful, God. Lord, I'm not seeing so much yet. Please help me. I need to see much more than I can see. I need to see much more than myself. I need to see much more than myself. I need to see much more than myself. I know that my life is more than myself, but I can't dream beyond myself. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Expand my horizon, Lord. Expand my horizon, Lord. Bring your vision into my heart so that I can indeed see what you want me to see. So that I can indeed see what you want me to see. So that I can indeed see what you want me to see. Help me, Lord. Lati kadie vazunda ya bayabofe. Ila da tumeka ina su tata pagatesa. Ila ti sakatesha. Every boundary I have put over my own life, over the expectations of my own self, over the things I expect in my life, Daddy, please help me shatter it. Not by mouth, but let it be really shattered in my heart. Let it be really shattered in my heart that I indeed begin to expect great things. I expect much more of myself. I expect much more of myself. I expect to be treated like a king. I expect to be treated like a queen. I no longer expect to be disrespected. Ala biku mazu velegetisha. Help me, Lord. I used to expect that it's only the leftover that I deserve. Now, Lord, help me begin to expect the main thing, the main thing. I deserve more than leftovers. I deserve more than leftovers. I deserve more than leftovers. Help my heart begin to phantom it. Help my heart begin to expand. And I begin to see what you have me see. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my heart. Ilabakato sekaya babarie chamaya bandish. Imeku zeka kabilo fegede bayabash. Ela teke nu sekete bayabash. Ele bebe tu fekaya barueshe. Ema dosa halibaya babadose.